Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Stephen Palmer, Executive Director of Neighbors of Hope. And for this week's edition of Word Made Flesh, we have the voices from our men's ministry. And so good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Great.
Wonderful. Here we are a few weeks after Resurrection Sunday, Easter. And before we went on the air, we discussed that, we don't want the significance of Easter Sunday to depart from our lives. And so we thought today we would talk a little bit about the power and its implication of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection and its implications in our lives. And honestly, how much do we really implement that power in our daily lives to lead lives of, as Paul would say, transformation. Right? That we've morphed from the caterpillar to the butterfly. Right? The scripture we're going to look at about the resurrection comes from Mark's Gospel. That's chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Gentlemen, would any of you like to read that for our audience?
Sure, I'll read it.
Thank you.
Mark 16, 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, mother Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the next day of the week, on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But then they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Familiar scripture reading, I'm sure, for a lot of our listening audience as well as for us. But rather than doing some sort of exegetical work on this piece, I think for the sake of our conversation this morning, let's just look at the impact, as I said in our introduction, on the power of the resurrection. Right? It's interesting, I think, as this concludes, for me, to see these women, right, being amazed and terrified at the same time. And it makes me wonder, is that how the power of the resurrection impacts our lives? I guess I'll just speak for myself, right? I mean, sometimes you're amazed going, "Oh my gosh, what a beautiful thing, what a relief. He who we thought was dead has been risen, still lives. The ministry, the work still goes on." At the same time, oh boy, this is, we can be terrified by supernatural things, right? Or could we, am I terrified on if that is true and I'm amazed by that truthfulness, then I'm also somewhat mandated or obligated to commit the totality of my life to that truth. And that can also terrify me. Any of your thoughts?
I think two parts I want to look at. Like one, myself, but also this idea, too, is if you think about those two women, I mean, they followed Jesus. And they knew, they seen his gift. They seen what he was there to offer to the world. They got to experience it firsthand. And still in fear. Their hope, because you got to think about it, right? Like if you look at the tradition, the traditional, like, you know, Jewish funeral and like the celebration, like what they go through that process, they didn't have the faith that he was going to go past that, that they had to come back and finish the ritual. So they didn't fully believe that he was going to go where he was supposed to. He wasn't going to go on from that thing because the business wasn't done. The ritual wasn't finished. It wasn't done right. It was so fast that they had to go back. So that there was some, like, they weren't, so they must not have fully believed in the power there at some point in time. But then at the same time, like, you go into it, they had so much hope, they continued on with what they were told from the boy, the mission, in a sense. But they were scared to talk about it and things. So I think that really shows us that it's okay for us to be scared when we feel something, some that hope at that level. And I feel like we see that every day within our ministry, is guys who will get so overwhelmed by the grace that people give them when in our programs, that they get so overwhelmed, that they get so worked up, they can't handle it, that a lot of times they run. They run from that feeling of being loved. And I think this scripture is kind of somewhat telling us it's okay. Right. Even the disciples, the women disciples, we forget that there were some women disciples.
Yeah.
Those two were the disciples of Jesus, too, just as much as, you know, Mark and James and all of them were. And I think they were scared. And they seen the power he had on people and to make change. So if they were scared, it's okay for us to be scared a little bit. And while we're going through, because that's an amazing experience. And so for myself, it's kind of like, they're going out there to spread the rumor of hope, which we got so caught up with social media and all these things in our life that we think rumors are bad. That all rumors are not true, they're negative. But
let's cancel hope.
Yeah, but the reality is rumors can be true. And rumors come out because they want people to know something that is maybe not being told to them the right way. You know, like even in the military, military is full of rumors, right? Like, oh, we're going to deploy in a week. We're going to deploy in 30. And then, like, you know, you start asking questions and people say, you know, your leadership's like, no, just don't worry about that. Don't worry about it. And then it comes up, you're deploying. Can you get orders to deploy right out of the blue? But there's rumors in the past. Like, those were true rumors. But they don't want you to worry, so they don't want you to worry about it right now. But I think that there's part of this is it's okay. We need to spread this hope. We need to spread these rumors of hope, that hope is something special in our lives. And for me, like that's the beauty of all this is, like, I don't know all the answers. And I can't say I know all the answers and that I don't question my faith at times, but the thing is it's something great to believe in. I find hope that we can come together as a community. We can come together to protect one another in the crisis that we're going through right now and provide hope, because I've seen it work. I've seen people's lives transformed in the work that I do.
Yeah.
And I think, like, that's the rumor is we don't need to go out there and showboat it all the time. We don't need to show how all the time, but we can share it through our progress in our own lives. And like, that's what passes on generationally and generationally. So we should work on letting people into our lives to help us provide that hope.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we think about the human brain, you know, when you're talking about using language like rumors, our brains are somewhat lazy, meaning that our brains will opt out of really toward a convenience bias, meaning that it's easier and more convenient to believe a lie than it is to allow our brains to work through the harsh realities of a hard truth. Mm-hmm. Thus, we can dismiss truth as being just that. That's just a rumor. That's just a story. That's just... Right? Or the word is, you're right, they're sent back to Galilee where it all started to proclaim this good news.
Yeah.
Right? And that good news is God loves us. Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, you got anything you want to add there?
I think sometimes, like with the women being afraid and trembling, sometimes it's hard to process things we go through right at the beginning. And I can just imagine them being in so much grief, and they were just doing what they knew to do as part of, you know, laying someone to rest in their time. And they weren't even thinking about the hope that they already knew about as well. You know, he told me he was going to rise. He was going to be brought back to life. And they were just, I think they may have just forgotten about it. You know, they were in so much grief, like, what? And then all of a sudden he's gone, like, oh, wait a minute. And even though they were so afraid, you know, a couple of days later, maybe they processed it. You know, I look at some of my life experiences, you know, when you get so down and so broken, and it's hard to think clearly sometimes. And when somebody tries to reach out to you and tell you that they love you and that they're there to help you, you just can't, you really can't see any way out other than, you know, like, this is what I'm at, this is where I'm at, and it takes a few days to process that. And it takes somebody showing compassion and empathy for your situation, and then maybe you start to come out and see the light. And, you know, that's kind of where, you know, you see God, just, I love you no matter what.
And that's a hard one to swallow, right? Because we kind of play God ourselves. Yeah, but if you only knew me, you wouldn't be as compassionate to me. If you only knew me, you wouldn't be showering me with the, I don't deserve these blessings. And in here, we've often taught, you know, some of the hardest, one of the hardest acts we can do is to accept the blessing. All right? You got anything you want to add there?
You guys clear to go.
What's the two? Think about it. It's two women to give that word. You know, so you think about the correlation throughout the history, like biblically in that sense. So they're giving life. They're going to go give a message of life. You know, and that's what, that's that maternal instinct of, like, this is this maternal instinct of life that they're going to give. They're going to share the great message of life. He lives on through us. You know, like there's this, when we accept him, he'll live with us. Well, we have to let him in.
Yeah. I think when we break down this resurrection event, I mean, I could put it like in two different categories. One, we see the vindication of God, and the other one, we see the validation from God. Right? The vindication is, in a sense, God is passing judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All that stuff that leads towards death. Now, you could talk about greed, idolatry, you know, oppression, exploitation. Right? The list is endless, and those things go on today. Right? I'm saying that's by raising Jesus, God is vindicating him and his life and ministry of living in direct opposition to that. So when we look at Jesus, we see God with, you know, love with skin on it, practicing things like love, mercy, compassion, truth, life, justice, peace, right? All those things. God is vindicating, saying that's the way it's supposed to be. That's life. Right? And the vindication then says, well, when they call him Lord, they're saying, well, Caesar's not Lord. He is. Right? Son of God? Caesar's not Son of God. He is. Right? So that's what I mean by vindication. The validation component is, we remember in Matthew and Luke's gospel on what we like to call the Lord's Prayer, on earth as in heaven. God is validating that throughout Scripture and throughout creation, eternity, God has been wanting to bring heaven and earth, the divine and the created, together, which is what covenant, coming together. All right, and here, the divine has come. Right? Okay, what we call incarnation, the divine in the life of Christ, right? There it is, all right? That didn't stop when what was normal, right, our environmental conditioning and biases and things like that, is like, hey, a loved one in my family has died, we're going down to the local funeral home. As I'm driving down there, I am expecting, my presupposition is that there's going to be a body in that casket. I don't plan on walking in the funeral home and going, hey, surprise! And so it could be baffling when we've been so trained to think, with these types of presuppositions. So hopefully, gentlemen, as we continue to move forward from this day, we live our lives as children of God who have been empowered by God's validation and vindication through the resurrection. So I appreciate you sharing with our listening eyes today. And so until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, and love be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, our social enterprises, Blessings and More Resale Store, Woven Hope and Recycling Center, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.